Window World, the official windows of the Kansas City Chiefs, presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, online at windowskansascity.com.
I'm so torn by the rundown of today's podcast. I have so many topics that a handful of which could be a very big lead and things that we could go into great detail about, but I'm afraid we're going to do some skimming today because we have so many different items to discuss. I want to get them all in. And I guess a couple of these somewhere down the road we'll be able to take maybe a little bit more time and a deeper dive into. So this is going to be fun. And we get started with the big news of this Wednesday, and that is Ron DeSantis, the governor of Florida, will be announcing that he is running for president of the United States on a Twitter Spaces event, which will happen live. Elon Musk apparently is going to do the introduction or the interview or something. Elon Musk trying very hard to play the middle of Twitter, saying it's a great open space. We'll have more on that in a little bit when we talk about a huge exchange between Ted Cruz and AOC on Twitter on Tuesday. Elon Musk trying to convince America that all he's about with Twitter is, here's a space, debate it. Stick with the facts, don't call people names, let's let America decide. Get your butt on Twitter, read both sides of every issue, and decide where you stand. If Elon Musk can pull that off, that's going to be terrific. Ron DeSantis clearly is to the right of most people in America, and Elon Musk, by doing this, I think runs a risk of making it look like Twitter is trying to influence elections. So we'll see what this all looks like and how it plays out. I think Musk is trying to, I think we know Musk leans right. I don't think he's a giant conservative, but I think we know he leans right. I think he wants America to move right from where they are today. He doesn't particularly like Donald Trump, but he probably likes personally Ron DeSantis. They're closer in age and all these other things. So Twitter Spaces is where this is going to be, and Ron DeSantis is going to announce that he's running for president of the United States. So let's first do a little background on Ron DeSantis. This is where we will take a bit of a deep dive on today's podcast. You know Ron DeSantis as the governor of Florida. You may know a little bit about his bio or his background, but let's go ahead and hit on this. A couple of important numbers here. The first one is 44. Ron DeSantis is only 44 years old. We have an 80-year-old and a 78-year-old that are the front runners right now in each of their two parties, which means if DeSantis pulled this off, if he got the Republican nomination, and I will stand firmly with this prediction, I think if Ron DeSantis wins the Republican nomination, he will destroy Joe Biden. I do not think it will be close. I think every swing state out there will go DeSantis, and I think the big reason is this. DeSantis would be the first president in 32 years that is not a man from the baby boomer generation. I think that's very important. I don't think voters talk about it a lot. I don't think it's conscious. I think a lot of people have it in the back of their mind. You can call it a bias if you want. It's all possible. I don't care what you call it. It would also be the first president of my lifetime that's younger than me, which eventually, if you live a good long life, is going to happen. But it's just incredible that we have gone 32 years with nothing but baby boomer men as presidents of the United States. So that's a big deal. Ron DeSantis was an officer in the United States Navy. He graduated from Yale and Harvard. He would also become the first Italian-American president. Another box checked. We don't do these things with white people or with Republicans, right? But a lot of Italians, obviously, immigrated to the United States in around 1880. For about 30 to 40 years, there was a giant wave of people leaving Italy and coming to the United States. This would be the first Italian American president. His great-grandparents, Ron DeSantis, were both born in southern Italy. His mother, her maiden name was Rogers, but it wasn't really Rogers. Karen Rogers was Ron DeSantis' mom, but her name at birth was changed after the Ruggiero family moved over from Italy and changed their name here to Rogers. And so it's all Italian-Americans here throughout this family. You know about Casey DeSantis, his wife, who is just an absolute rock star on the campaign trail. And the comparisons here, you know, Ron DeSantis, the resume, the look, the record, the family, the wife is a cancer survivor, all these different things. I mean, this guy checks every single box you could want. Now, You could send me an email and say you didn't like this policy, or you voted this way in Congress, or you did this or that. I think personally Ron DeSantis is more conservative today than he was 10 years ago. I think the pandemic has done that with a lot of what we would call Republicans. And if you want to try to paint this man as a rhino, he's been fighting too much of a good fight in Florida for a lot of people to buy off on the fact that he's some sort of a softy rhino, that he's not really conservative. That's going to be a tough sell for Trump. I love this little nugget. As he's been battling Disney World, and the media's portrayed this Disney decision not to build their $1 billion corporate campus near Lake Nona in Florida to move employees from California to Florida to save money, that was hidden in all of this. Disney has said they're pushing this off because they're struggling with finances right now, so they're not doing it. Nobody reported that what they were going to build was something to get out of California and get into Florida. They've put a halt on that. DeSantis said he is standing firm with Disney. He is winning this debate and winning this argument, and so that thing is on hold. He's battling Disney Corporation for all the special use advantages and laws that they have in Florida. Ironically, does anybody know this? Ron and Casey DeSantis were married at Disney World. It's true. They met on a golf course in Florida. Casey DeSantis at one point worked for Golf Channel. She was also a local television reporter in Florida. And that's where Ron met her, was at a golf course. And they would later get married in 2009. They've been married 14 years. In 2009, they got married at Disney World at the Grand Floridian. You can't make this up. It's just fantastic. Ron DeSantis is an outstanding candidate. We do not know how this is going to play out. I think we all believe, because Trump has the big lead now, and we know what a home run hitter he is, what a slugger he is, that he will win this thing, that the people that love Donald Trump are massive in number in the Republican Party, and they are not going to switch to Ron DeSantis. There are so many people that believe that. I believe that. I also believe that we're a year away from knowing how this all plays out. It'll be a year from now before we know who wins the primary here, whether it be Trump or DeSantis. And there's going to be a lot of news stories in this cycle. There's going to be a lot of things happen. It has been leaked by the Trump campaign that immediately upon Ron DeSantis announcing that he's running, that Trump is going to throw one haymaker after another. They're throwing the kitchen sink at him. They're going to go for knockout punches early. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be brutal. It's going to be an all-out attack. And I know that's Trump's style, and that's what got him where he is. That is what has led him to be the front runner, because he takes those all-out assaults and attacks onto Democrats. But there are times when he does it to Republicans that it does not sit well with an awful lot of conservative Americans. I've mentioned my mom before. She still brings up the nasty things Trump said about John McCain. She still brings it up. It sticks, and it is never going away. Now, is this far be it from me to be the person who says, okay, Trump, you got to be, this is different this time. So nothing's ever different with Trump. He is who he is, and he's going to be who he is. It's going to be up to the voters to decide whether they want that or whether they prefer DeSantis. DeSantis apparently is going to, by all accounts, is going to sit back and take it. He's not going to really counterpunch. He's going to take the high road. He's going to give speeches running on his record, the things he believes in, his vision for America, and let Trump try to knock him out early. There are no elections coming up in the next couple of months. It's just campaigning. So there's no primaries. There's no vote. DeSantis wants to play the long game. As people are saying, it's a little bit like a boxer does rope-a-dope. Let the other guy try to knock you out in the first or second round, and you just kind of float like a butterfly and sting like a bee and stay on the ropes and don't get knocked out and take the thing 15 rounds. That's what DeSantis' game plan is. This is going to be an incredible primary to watch, to see two completely different styles of two candidates that are mostly the same. They're mostly ball busters. They love to pick on the media. They love to point things that the media do wrong out all the time. They love to blast the Democrats. They don't care about any criticism coming from the left. They don't care about criticism from the White House. They don't care about any of that. They're both doers. When Trump was president and as DeSantis has been governor, they both have gotten things done that they said they were going to do. They're both executives. They both get things done, and they're both, in my mind, conservative. May the best man win. I'm of the belief right now, if I were to vote today, it doesn't matter what my vote would be because Trump would win. That it really doesn't matter. And I'll officially declare that I'm undecided on this thing. I want to watch it play out. But if the vote were today, it would be Trump. I'd be voting for Trump because to me, he's a known commodity. I think the best case scenario for America, the best outcome of all this for America, would be Trump for 4 years. Because I think having Trump in there with no prospects of running for re-election would just be incredible. I think he'd be an absolute flamethrower and clean out our federal machine, deep state, and government like nothing you've ever seen before. I think he could do an awful lot of great work for this country in a short period of time. Then you know where I stand on the DeSantis part. I think the electability matters, and I'm leaving open my option. I think the Kansas caucus is what, next April probably? So we're 11 months away from me having to decide and doing something. I'm leaving open the possibility that I believe DeSantis is more electable, and that would be my vote, because more than choosing between these two candidates, more than choosing between the two, I want to win the damn election. I want to win it. I want it all. I'm total greed. I want it all. I want the White House. We're going to get the Senate. We got to hold the House. And if we can do that, we can. Well, I think we've learned now that it's not about slowing or stopping something, okay? It's about changing it. Pass laws, change things that the Democrats then can't touch, that they can't reverse. Very important. This is going to be a wild one. Ron DeSantis announcing on Twitter Spaces with Elon Musk that he's running for president of the United States. Boy, talk about running. Target is running. Oh, my God. Target appears to be the next Bud Light story. Now, this won't be as dramatic as Bud Light because Bud Light was men. Bud Light, you know, 90% men consumers. And then almost a third now, they're up to 29% their sales have dropped. Almost 30% of those men said, we don't like what you're doing and we'll just drink some other beer. So we know what happened with Bud Light. The question is, what's the demographic makeup of a Target customer? And how much influence does a man have over his family? As it is Memorial Day weekend and you're stocking up buying things like swimming trunks, t-shirts for your kids, flip-flops, coolers, air fresheners for your car, beach blankets, all of these things that would be at Target right now that you may be planning your first week of summer, kids out of school, going to the lake, going to the beach, depending on where you live. How much effect does the man in the house have over where this stuff is purchased? Because let's be honest, Target's real mojo is we're better than Walmart and you'll pay for that. Our aisles are a little wider. Our buggies are nicer. Our products are just a little bit higher end. Not dramatically, a little bit. We think you'll pay more for that than to go fight the good fight at Walmart. We think there's a class of people that are not embarrassed to say they shop at Target, but there is a class of people who would never say they go to Walmart. I've never really understood that. To me, when I go buy the things that I got to have, or the way I live my life, whether it's my bottled iced tea that I like, or Cheez-Its, or soap and deodorant, why would I buy that stuff at Target when I know their prices are higher than Walmart's? Why? Why would I do that? Now, some people don't want to fight the crowd. Some people don't like that. Whatever. To me, and Target's been doing this for a long time now. This has been going on for over a decade. They've had a couple of boycotts against them before. This one is the same thing that hammered Bud Light. Will it be effective against Target? Because Bud Light, again, was men. Will women see this and not like it? What Target has going on right now is their pride section. In every store in the country, they are basically double the size than they used to be, and they moved them up front for Pride Month coming in June. This is the alphabet merchandise. This is the tuck swimsuits. You got a swimsuit for a boy, not a man, a boy that wants to tuck his penis down under. They have a suit that does that for you so you look like a girl while you're swimming at the pool this summer. And a lot of people are upset that they're so in your face with this. It's the size of the display. It's the location of the display. Target CEO Brian Cornell just a few weeks ago, did a podcast where he said this is the right thing for society and it drives sales at Target. We are all on board with this. Full speed ahead. We're going to do more and more and more. It's good for biz. You can call it being woke, but we care. It's who we are. And it's emerging markets for us. And the key here is, quote, it's the right thing for society, unquote. To me, Target has no role in society in pushing what our society should be. They can absolutely, as a retailer, and should be, a reflection of what people buy. They should try to sell the most products they can. As people are going and pushing this other stuff, they're going to have to start saying, are we going to lose sales elsewhere? Are any dudes going to go in and buy sporting goods at Target? Or the things that guys like? It's just a great question, right? So he says it's a right thing for society and it drives sales. Now they've gone into panic mode as they've already seen an uproar in places all across America. And this is a uniquely American thing. It's getting worse by the day because the people on the right are just killing it in what they're doing. Not only did they spread the word that you shouldn't be going there, because if you take your kid into Target, you're going to have to try to explain to an 8-year-old what this section of stuff is. I don't want to have to explain that to an 8-year-old. I really don't. So they had a conference call with all of the store managers, and they targeted, it sounds like, a little more than half the stores in America. By zip code, this is pretty simple. They know who their customers in Target stores are different depending on where you live. So they targeted about half of America, and the general managers of those stores, they said, move the Pride section to the back of the store and make it 1/3 the size of what it was. You're not going to get in trouble over sales. Get it away from the front of the store, move it to the back, and take 2/3 of the items and put them in the warehouse and hang on to them. And we'll see what happens with sales. Bury this stuff. Bury it. So if somebody comes in looking for it, they're going to have to work hard to find it. Because if you're going in there to buy your Pride suit, you'll find it. If you're going in there to do a viral video on Twitter or TikTok or Instagram, you'll find it. But if you're just going there and shopping and you don't really want to see it, you won't see it. So they've done this. They made the move. And it sounded surprising. It's the right move for Target. They were about to get in real trouble with an awful lot of consumers. Then the conservatives went further. And they have recognized that the company that provides a lot of these products, the t-shirts, the in-your-face stuff, some swimwear, is a company called from England, Abprella, A-B-P-R-E-L-L-A, Abprella. And their lead designer at Abprella is a man named Eric Carnell. And he is the one who designed the t-shirts that you can buy at Target that say, online at Abprella. They've not seen these in Target yet, but it's the same company. Target has partnered with this designer and this business. He has t-shirts that say Satan respects pronouns. He has a t-shirt with a guillotine on it that above it says homophobic headrest and a guillotine. It is all Satanism, anti-Christian views, pro-LGBTQ+, all of these things. Eric Carnell is the name of the designer. He is a Satanist. The company is called Abprella, and they make a lot of the merchandise for Target, in their stores and online. And now, let's see what the blowback is. Now, that might change everything with a lot of people. That might catch mom's attention. Guillotine t-shirts? Homophobic headrest? Ugh. Satan respects pronouns? I can't even believe this stuff. And this is the man, the designer, that the Target CEO is allowed to partner up with to provide all their LGBTQ shirts and such, saying this is the right thing for society. Wow, dude. I don't go to Target. I haven't gone to Target for years. Of course, I've been in there. Occasionally, Jessica has some sort of makeup thing or something she has to go get that Target has that Walmart doesn't or something. It's not that I have not been in Target. I don't go there. I'm not going there to get my mom a birthday card. I'm not going in there to pick something up for myself. I don't go to Target, but I haven't for a long time. This has been going on for years. This is one of the all-time woke liberal companies in America. They should be avoided at all costs if you're conservative. They should be taught to stay out of politics. They are in-your-face political in everything they do corporate-wide and in their stores. Why support it? Am I sitting here telling you Walmart is in-your-face conservative? No, I'm not. I'm not. I think Walmart is trying their best to stay out of all this stuff. I think some companies are trying their best to be inclusive, to respect all people, and provide products for them or services for them without being overtly in your face. Walmart's pitch is easy. You're American. Come on in here and buy something for less than anywhere else. They really shouldn't be involved in anything else. And you can provide products by zip code. We certainly know that it happens. I can't wait to see what happens with Target. If this is a one-week thing, if this becomes real, if the moms find out that all this stuff is based with a designer who's considered to be a Satanist. This designer was asked about all these really inappropriate shirts and slogans that he's designed, and there's more. This is the iceberg. There's way more. He said, I'm not really a Satanist. This is all tongue-in-cheek. Memo to Target. Making jokes about Satan on clothing is not appealing to almost any of your customers. Doing business with people that make satanic shirts is bad for business. Just as Nike throwing away money on Colin Kaepernick, who wore a Castro t-shirt and defended it in front of the media. He wears it right in front of him and says they've got better health care in Cuba than they do in the United States. And people were like, oh, whoa, he's so smart. How does he know that? Well, it's not true. For starters, it's not true. I'm sorry. Colin Kaepernick hasn't done anything really good for Nike. He hasn't. And this won't work for Target. It simply won't. You like doing business with good people that you can trust. People have been around for years. Family-run businesses are the best because you know what a family's all about. One of those great businesses in the Kansas City area, but also in St. Louis, Oklahoma City, and Tulsa, is Amini's at 105th and Metcalf. Right now, instant cash rebate or 72-month no-interest financing, 5 days only. It's the Memorial Day sales event at Amini's, 105th and Metcalf. Now, this is all kinds of great stuff. Golden tee, bar stools, shuffleboard, pool tables, theater seating, area rugs, umbrellas, you name it, inside, outside the house. Save up to 30 to 80% off retail if you're a previous customer. Just mention it. You're a VIP and save big. Yeah, I've been here before. Arash Amini is the CEO. I've known Arash for years and years and years. And right now they've got their Memorial Day sales event and they'd love to have you come in. You could take delivery now or later. They'll hold it for you. If you need to wait, if you're going through a move, if you're moving into a new home or doing something like that, they held our shuffleboard table for us. We got it. They held it, waited till we were in. Then they deliver it and set it up. They're awesome. Their service is amazing. Amini's, 105th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck is the best roofer anywhere in the Midwest. His team, of course, is available 24/7 if you have an emergency. So you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. Call 913-384-2680 and schedule your free roof inspection today and see what's going on up there. Don't climb up there yourself. Let Ron or one of his team members do it. They are experts. 913-384-2680. And Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC, holiday weekend. If you're not leaving town, great time to get that new ride. Check out everything in stock at Roberts Robinson on their website, robertsrobinson.com. It's the home of the lifetime warranty. You can shop online. They can deliver to your house, or you can build your own. They have 0% financing available on select 2022 Buick SUVs, and they've got low 1.9 and 2.9% financing on almost everything they have, including Chevy Silverados. So low financing is back at Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. You're going to love these folks. 1501 Kearney Road is the address, and right now you can save big. $1,000 accessory allowance on Chevy trucks, home of the lifetime warranty, and low interest rates. RobertsRobinson.com. John Mellencamp is one of my favorite artists. I love, and I can't stop listening, not every day, at certain times, to some of my favorite John Mellencamp songs. He spoke to me as a young man. He sang out about things that were playing out in my life, whether it was meeting a girl or something about America or work. He spoke to on behalf of people that lived in rural America, farmers, flyover country. All of his songs were about that. Excellent music, some of the greatest songs of all time, an absolute Hall of Famer. And the guy somehow has just gotten off the rails in his old age. We've talked about this before. There was the incident this past year at a Colts game in Indianapolis where John Mellencamp was in a suite. It looked like the owner's suite. And everybody was standing for the anthem. They had one of those giant flags out on the field, you know, a color guard down there. And Mellencamp's sitting in a seat, not standing up, eating popcorn while the anthem is taking place. A couple of his songs, just like Bruce Springsteen, Born in the USA comes to mind. Pink Houses comes to mind a little bit for John Mellencamp. Seem like they're songs that are pro-America, and they are. I think these are both, or at least once were, proud Americans, but they're complainers. They identify things. They have a grievance with things that they see in America. There is nothing wrong with that. I do that for a living. Most of what I see is things I'm trying to prevent from happening. But they would see things, and in the case of Mellencamp, he thought unfair. He thought the banking system was unfair to farmers. It was one of the huge undertones of all of his songs. The government and the banking industry are unfair to local farmers. Awesome. He drew a lot of attention to that. Then there was Farm Aid. There were all the different things that he did, and it was effective. And he was fighting for the little guy. And I don't know where that went, because he's become, you know, as Obama did to so many of these people, they got infected with this mind frame of the leftist mind frame. And Mellencamp fits into that. But he's got a new song out that gives me hope that there is that younger man still in there that recognizes right from wrong. John Mellencamp has written and released a new song with a video of it called The Eyes of Portland. It is about the homeless situation in Portland. And the lyric in this song at one point is, he went there apparently and played a show. And he walked around and he saw it. And he has recognized, or knows, I think everybody knows, that Oregon has spent $4 billion on homeless, and it's 50% worse than it was 5 years ago. They're losing population in Portland. They have 700 homeless encampments in Portland. The Democrats are spending money like crazy on the homeless, and it's just getting worse and worse. I think you can figure out why. Why would you be homeless in Eugene, Oregon, if over in Portland they have $4 billion they're handing out? It's not hard to figure this out. Maybe John Mellencamp sees that. Again, I think he's gone all lefty on us. But this is pretty good. He writes in this song, there were so many homeless, they'd all gone astray. They slept on the corners during the day. Where do they come from? In this land of plenty, where nothing gets done. And I think that's the money line. Where do they come from in this land of plenty where nothing gets done? Now, he's banging on Democrats there. There's no other way to say it. I'm not telling you he's moved to the right. What I'm telling you is this is a person who runs in, he spends time in New York, he hangs out with Springsteen, they're buddies with Obama, there's a crowd, there's a celebrity crowd, and they're all baby boomers. These people are older than me. There's this crowd, and they've all moved way left. And this is only one man. It's a pretty powerful video. It shows all these homeless people and whatnot. It's pretty powerful to say in this land of plenty, nothing gets done. That's pointing at Democrats. You cannot look at Portland. The only thing you can look in Portland is say the Democrats are running that. Republicans have nothing to do with it. They've thrown $4 billion at it. It is 50% worse than it was 5 years ago, and there are 700 homeless encampments. Now, this is where I said I've got a lot of topics I'd love to spend more time on. Today isn't the day, but I'm going to do the research. We're going to do a podcast on this. I heard or read a couple of weeks ago mind-boggling statistics over the small amount of mental health facilities that we used to call Nut House. They sent her off to the crazy house, the Nut House. Then out came One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest in the 70s. Remember this? We had a lot of places to house mentally disturbed people in America. They were kind of considered prisons. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest came out and basically made it look like if you have a psych ward, these people are in prison. They're treated unfairly, that this is a bad thing. So gradually, over the last 3 or 4 decades, we've gotten rid of these facilities. We think they're wrong. Where do you think these people go? They go to the streets. Most of these people belong in a mental health facility. If we want to help them, you don't build encampments. You don't hand them a free meal. You diagnose them with a mental illness and you put them in an institution and see if you can find a combination of medicine or whatever to make them better, to help them. These are mentally disturbed people. You think there's a mental health crisis in America? The mental health crisis among the homeless is out of control because we don't have facilities for anybody anymore. We sort of decided as a society. I'm telling you, the film came out. I don't know what year it was. You've probably seen it. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest when it nursed Ratchet. And once it did, this was the left, okay, creating art, a film. I think it won an Oscar or some Oscars, whether it won Best Picture, I don't know. This was the left pushing something that then became like the gospel in America. Mental health facilities are bad. Well, why are they bad? Yes, there are bad people that can run them, and bad things can happen in them. I agree with all that. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. We've got to get these people off the streets and into facilities, and we're spending this kind of money. We can build mental health facilities, but the percentage, the number is way down of these places. These institutions are way down. My mom used to say, Kevin, you're going to drive me to the Nut House. That's what she said. She wasn't talking about pecans. Wait, are pecans nuts? Peanuts are not nuts. Peanuts are legumes? I get confused on those. But anyway, it wasn't a place that served. That mom said I was going to drive her to the Nut House. You can imagine how I was as a boy. I don't know where there is a Nut House anymore, and I know you can't say that. But that's the way I was learned. John Mellencamp all over the Democrats. Wow. Okay, this is a good one. Ted Cruz versus AOC. This played out in real time on Twitter. This is absolutely tasty. AOC is, you know, she's not very smart. Ted Cruz is very smart. So she's made some crack on Twitter to Ted Cruz about racism and the black experience in America and which party's better or whatever. And so AOC says, okay, then what happened after that? And I don't know what date they were talking about. Maybe it was World War II or something like that. Cruz took her up on the offer and responded on a tweet thread saying, sure, here you go, AOC. First, the Dem Party founded the KKK. Then the Democrat Party wrote Jim Crow laws. Then the Dem Party filibustered the Civil Rights Act. Today, the Dem Party filibusters school choice, trapping millions of black kids in failing schools. Today, the Dem Party pushes abolishing the police, which results in more black lives being murdered. Today, every Dem senator voted against my bill to stop Washington, D.C. from throwing 40% of black kids out of schools because of a vax mandate. Today, we know this. The Republican Party was founded to oppose slavery. Our first Republican president was Abraham Lincoln, who won the Civil War and ended slavery. It was Republicans who voted for the Civil Rights Act in a much higher percentage than racist Dems. Today, we produced the lowest African-American unemployment ever under the Trump economic boom. Today, we produced the lowest African-American poverty levels ever under the Trump economic boom. Today, in 2017, I passed the largest expansion of federal school choice ever, making 529 plans cover K through 12 over the objection of every single Democrat in the Senate. Also, just 2 years ago, the Democrat governor of Virginia had put a video of a man dressed as a KKK Klansman on his personal yearbook page. And today, the sitting Democrat president, Joe Biden, gave in 2011 a flowery eulogy for an exalted cyclops of the KKK. And to add to all that, the Dem Party aggressively supports open borders, which has led to the deaths and brutal assaults of thousands of Hispanics, and AOC somehow can't seem to find her white pantsuit to cry over their suffering anymore. Wow! Is that a takedown? There is no response other than AOC basically barking back, "You're racist! You're wrong! You're racist!" Facts matter. I've said this. We have to stop playing defense on the race issue. Conservatives can no longer play defense on race. Ted Cruz just wrote the charter right there. Every single candidate that's a Republican should be able to recite that to the media at any moment and any time. Stop defending and saying, "I'm not racist." Stop it. That doesn't work. Your opponent calls you a racist. You don't say, "Oh, I'm not a racist." That's no response. If your opponent calls you a racist, you say, "Really? My opponent's a Democrat, right?" Then you rattle off all that. Rattle, rattle, rattle. We cannot say that enough. In fact, if we really wanted to spend some of this super PAC money, if the super PACs really wanted to make a difference, we would buy massive ad campaigns targeting black Americans with all of these facts. Because young black Americans, middle-aged black Americans don't know this. Nobody taught that to them. They've been pounded with something else, political messaging. That, not even candidate specific. Elections are coming up. Dem versus Republican. Where do they stand on race? Boom. Lay that thing out. And play that thing. Put it on Charlemagne the God show. Targeted in massive ad campaigns where more black people live. Just do it. It's real. It's true. It's facts. Ted Cruz was awesome in that. I mean, just awesome. We got an awesome treatment from Advantage Termite and Pest Control a couple weeks ago. They had those little itty bitty teeny tiny little red mite things. They came out and sprayed. They're all gone. That was it. They came in after it rained. Those things can get in, through the door cracks and whatnot. They're tiny little things. And the dude who came here was like, yeah, once you get a couple of them, nothing really breeds faster than these things. So they come right out and they take care of it. It was an easy fix. They were located in one little area in the corner of our lower level. Advantage is so professional. They should be your termite and pest control company. Even if you got big critters, you ever have a squirrel in your attic or something like that, give them a call at Advantage Termite and Pest Control, 913-768-8989, online, advantagetpc.com. MyPillow.com and MyStore.com, now with the promo code KKHI. My buddy asked me over the weekend, "Do you sleep with a MyPillow 2.0? And I said, "Yes, it really is cooler. And the fabric around the outside is softer and nicer." They have a variety of different fills, so make sure you get the right one. If you've had the MyPillow original and you like it, but it's time to get a new one, and you go to the MyPillow 2.0, make sure you get the same amount of filling if you like it that way. They do soft, medium, firm, all kinds of ways to customize your MyPillow. Or if you're looking for a mattress topper or bed sheets, they've got all that at MyPillow.com, promo code KKHI, or call this phone number, specifically dedicated for listeners of our podcast, 800-923-9034. That's 800-923-9034, MyPillow.com, and MyStore.com, filled with conservative products and services. Tickets for Less has your Chiefs tickets. Chiefs. TicketsForLess.com right now. Available on sale any game all season. Call 913-685-3322. Mention the podcast. You're going to save 5 to 15%. Or use the promo code KKHI upon checkout at the website, TicketsForLess.com. It's not too late to go to Taylor Swift or Luke Combs, or maybe you're selling tickets. Tickets for Less also buys tickets. If you have tickets to a big event and now you can't go, give them a call. They'll buy them from you. And a lot of times you can make a pretty good profit depending on the event. This company is a great Kansas City company that's now nationwide based in Overland Park. Went from four employees to 90. And I'm so proud to have been a partner and associate with Tickets for Less for really the entirety of their business. Almost 20 years now, probably close to 20 years. TicketsForLess.com. Awesome, folks. On to sports. I don't think I've ever seen a heavier or more articulate takedown of the media and of a sports entity than golf coach Claude Harmon has done this week on his podcast. You may have heard the name Butch Harmon. Butch Harmon was a famous golf teacher, coach. He was Tiger's coach for a while and some of these other things. Claude Harmon is his son. And Claude Harmon has big clients like Brooks Koepka, who just won the PGA and who almost won the Masters. Claude Harmon, he's Butch Harmon's son, does a podcast called Son of a Butch. I'm son of a Butch. My dad, Lester, I never heard anybody call my dad Les or Lester. He was Butch Keatsman. So I'm son of a Butch, too. Claude Harmon does a podcast called Son of a Butch, and he has unloaded on the golf establishment supporting the PGA Tour and not giving the time of day to live golf. Claude Harmon has clients on both tours. He's got players and friends on both tours that he coaches and works with. But he has just called a spade here. The number one worst offender is Brandel Chamblee on Golf Channel. And Claude Harmon clearly knows media because he does media as well. Listen to this, and I'm just reading from Claude Harmon on his podcast. Brandel is a paid actor by NBC and Golf Channel. All he's trying to do is get his lines and shows out there for Golf Channel. He's just trying to get lines for Brandel. I mean, I love him. I think Eamon is a fantastic writer, but Eamon Lynch and Brandel Chamblee, who worked for Golf Channel, to utter the words sports washing, they invented this term. They're saying that live golf is sports washing. And this is what they're pushing, that Liv is doing. It's sports washing. He's saying for NBC and Chamblee to be involved in this, when the company they work for televised the last two Winter Olympics in Russia and China with the same leaders they've had, it's not like they were good leaders back then. It's not like Putin was a good guy, right? And you're calling this sports washing? He was just getting started, Harmon was. Here's more from a pair of interviews he gave. One after Koepka took the lead off the final round, and one after he claimed the Wanamaker Trophy. Talking about the media covering the PGA Tour. You guys all think live golf, well, maybe you've changed your tune now that Brooks has won, but initially, it was all just bullshit. A bunch of guys playing who didn't care, who got the money, who got the bag, and it's 54 holes, and there's no competition and all this and that. So it was easy for you guys to just pretend like these guys weren't good players anymore? And I think you guys largely did that because you drank the Kool-Aid of everybody else. But how you guys in the media all thought these guys weren't going to show up and be great players is beyond me. I think it's an interesting Jedi mind trick they played on you guys, and you all fell for it. Good guys were all in. You said, these guys are all washed up. They took the bag of money. They're insignificant. They play against no competition. And that's not the case on the LIV Tour. If I'm critical of you guys in the media, you guys portrayed this as Brooks Koepka took money, then Tiger came out with his comments. You know, Tiger, the ultimate guy who got all his money up front. I mean, I was around then, folks. Tiger flew to his first professional golf tournament on Nike's private jet, and he wasn't paying for that. So you guys pushed some sort of narrative and pretended like LIV was an exhibition, that nobody watched it. You guys didn't report on it. None of you came to the tournaments. I mean, the golf that I watched Cam Smith play last year, the golf I saw Dustin Johnson play, the golf that I'm watching Brooks Koepka play this year is the same golf being played on the PGA Tour. You guys just tried to pretend it wasn't. He said the media was crowning PGA Tour players like the second coming of Jesus. You acted like Brooks is a shitty player and Will Zalatoris is great, but that guy has won one effing tournament. Koepka's won five majors. He said, Brooks Koepka is Kevin Durant or Aaron Rodgers. Yet, when I see quarterbacks like Dak Prescott or Lamar Jackson get paid, I don't hear any criticism from any of you. Whoa! Claude Harmon. Woo! It's a great read. It's out there if you want to check it out. There's much, much more. Golf Week has written about it. Golfweek.com is the place to go. If you'd like to read more of what Claude Harmon has said about the LIV Tour and the PGA Tour, and mainly the media covering those things. Wow, that was wild. All right, let's talk a little Royals baseball, brought to you by Back 9 Development. Our friends at Back 9 Development would love to work with you on your next project. I just had a friend text me and say, hey, can you put me in touch with TJ? I said, absolutely. He's looking at a secondary place that he and his wife can use, and maybe their daughter, and TJ's all in on that, and is just a perfect person to partner with. He's got a lot of great solutions for you, whether it's for personal use, for commercial use, build, also places that he has built, back9development.com. Their portfolio is online at back9development.com, or just call TJ. What I did was an introductory text, so we were all on the same thread, but you can just call TJ at 785-236-0161 and see if he fits with your dream. I know Amazing Garage Floors fits with my dream. They put the garage floor in my home, and I love it. And right now is the time of year to get on board and have that garage floor done. You can spend the evening in there. You can put a TV in there. You can watch, you can watch some sports or whatever it is, Fox News, if that's what you, whatever you like to watch. Put it on in your garage. If you maybe like to smoke a cigar, you can probably do that in your garage. Amazing Garage Floors can help you transform your garage into a place where you're going to enjoy spending time. Maybe you have a little shop in your garage where you do some woodworking or fix things or car parts. AmazingGarageFloors.net, 913-901-7139. The Royals won. Woo! I feel like that's what I'm going to do now. I'll just, when the Royals win one, I figure it's about once a week, we'll mention that here on the podcast, that the Royals won. Mike Myers was the starting pitcher for the Royals. He was terrific. They brought him up from the minors. 8 strikeouts and 1 walk in just under 5 innings. Bullpen took over. Quas got the win. Massey had a big hit in the game. And the Royals beat the Tigers, who really aren't very good, near as I can tell. But their record, they're only like 4 games under 500. That maybe tells you how bad the Royals are. At 15 and 34 are your Kansas City Royals. 15 and 34. I actually thought the Royals were worse than that. I looked at it, 15 and 34. That didn't sound as bad as I thought. J.J. Piccolo has done an interview with the Kansas City Star, the Royals general manager, after getting rid of Hunter Dozier. And I think we're going to see a fire sale here, folks. I think you're going to see Aroldis Chapman traded. I think you're going to see Barlow traded out of the bullpen. The Royals bullpen will be a mess the second half of the year. I think there is at least a 50% chance, I hate to say this, that the Royals are going to trade Salvador Perez. I just do. And that may be the right thing to do. I think his place in Kansas City has been cemented. I think there's a chance. He's still got a lot of pop in his bat. He's having a good year. I think there's a chance they're going to trade him. So J.J. Piccolo gives this interview. And this is how the media work. We always talk about omission. I could have left out the first word of this quote. J.J. Piccolo said, "Some things are moving in the right direction." In other words, we're getting rid of some older players. We're seeing a bounce. We're seeing some of these younger guys hit, and some good things are happening. Some things are moving in the right direction. You could easily leave some out and put the quote, "things are moving in the right direction," and just skewer a guy. And maybe that will happen at other media outlets. But this is how tricky media can be. And I think, to be fair, he said some things. What he's pointing at is younger players. I mean, I think they should already do a victory lap on Vinny Pasquantino. Looks like he's going to be a good player here for a long time. I'll say something that's controversial. You're not going to like this. He's a better hitter than Eric Hosmer. All that, glorification around Eric Hosmer, and Hosmer had some big hits and some big moments. Vinny looks like a better player than Eric Hosmer. Bobby Witt's probably better than he is better than Alcides Escobar. We got some people here that are better than the players the Royals had on their World Series team. They don't have is the pitching. So I'm going to watch and see what they do. Look, I don't think it's going to be fair. I'm not really thrilled that they got rid of Dayton Moore and then just brought on his underling. That doesn't look like you're really changing that much. But since they made that move last year, they've got to give this guy a couple of years. That let him work this roster over. Let him get rid of some of the old money. Bring in new players and see how it works out. Let's see what he can trade for with Aroldis Chapman. Let's see what they can get for Scott Barlow. Let's see if they can build their team that way. I think you almost have to give that opportunity. Preseason college basketball. Woo! What? It's May. It's not even Memorial Day. CBS Sports has its preseason poll out. No K-State, no Missouri. Kansas is number one. Number one. KU. And this is largely on the transfer of the big 7-foot center Hunter Dickinson from Michigan. I cannot imagine how great Dickinson is going to be playing for Bill Self. I mean, I think DeJuan Harris is just going to throw the ball at the backboard all game long. Just throw it up there and let Dickinson go get it. This guy is a player. Kansas, according to some reports, is paying up to $2 million to this guy to be there for 8 months. Woo! And they got what it takes. They crushed it in the transfer portal. KU lost 8 players to the portal and 3 to the draft. And CBS has them as number one because of the players that they brought in and the players that they return. Joe Lunardi has done his first bracketology. The overall number one seed in the NCAA tournament is Kansas. It's on. It took Bill Self about a week. Well, it took him a heart attack and then about a week to figure out how to use the transfer portal. Let me get rid of these players I've got around here that I don't like, that I've had in here, and we're going to take a couple of years to develop. I can just go get my seniors. I don't need to wait on these guys. I'll go get my own seniors. We got this Brinks truck over here because we're Kansas basketball, and we're going to go buy the best of the best. And they did. And that's the way the game is played now. It's just what it is. The NFL owners, 32-0, have approved the new fair catch rule for kickoffs. If you watch a lot of college football, you already know this. If you kick the ball to the 10-yard line, the return man can fair catch it at the 10, and you get the ball at the 25. We know in punting it, wherever you fair catch it is where you get it. That's not the way it is in college. If you're inside the 25, you can fair catch it and take the ball at the 25. A lot of teams do that. Now the NFL has adopted the college rule. So this is pretty much going to eliminate kickoffs. Kick returns. Until late in the year, when they can't kick it past the 10-yard line, there's going to be pros that bring that out. There's guys in the NFL, in college, they'll tell them, don't bring it out. Just don't. Just take the field. We got a good offense. Just take it. Because you could fumble. Things could happen. In the NFL, guys are trying to get paid. And the way you get paid is to break one of those things. And they all think they're going to break one. So maybe we'll see some late in the season as it gets colder. But I guess an easy call for the owners. They're going to go with the college rules one more time in the National Football League. Our final is brought to you by North Kansas City Dental, online at nkcdental.com. Proud sponsors of and creators of Team Smiles, which is a wonderful cause. We'd love for you to go to teamsmile.org, and see what they're all about, helping all kinds of kids all over the country get dental treatment. 50,000 kids have been served with $18 million worth of free dental services. That's just amazing. Dr. Bill Bush. That's all you got to know. He's the driving force behind all of it, and he can be your dentist. Call 816-471-2911 for nkcdental.com. And May is National Barbecue Month, and they've got a great sale going on at Smoke and Fire through the weekend here. Got to shop through Saturday. Through Saturday at Smoke and Fire, 119th and Metcalf. They've got all kinds of great discounts going on for the holiday. They also have the greatest selection of sauces, rubs, marinades, and drink mixes anywhere in Kansas City. Think of it as your boutique backyard store for things that you need to just cook better and prepare your meats better. They've got it all. They have thermometers on sale, 5-piece chef sets, 30% off. Great discounts at Smoke and Fire and the best grills anywhere in the Midwest. You want to build one in? They can help with that too. Smoke and Fire, the barbecue and fireplace, 119th and Metcalf in Overland Park. Our final today is a Playboy model. The Playboy model's name is, where did I get this? Claudia Conway is a Playboy model. She is a content creator at Playboy.com. And she has decided to do this. She's got hundreds of thousands of downloads and apparently is making a really nice living doing this. Claudia Conway is former Trump right-hand lady Kellyanne Conway's daughter. You may know famously that Kellyanne Conway and George Conway divorced in March. Their 23-year marriage ended because of their fights over Donald Trump. Kellyanne Conway believes that she owes a lot professionally to Donald Trump and sees him as a savior and a hero in America. George Conway split off, was a Republican, went more and more left and is probably just a flat-out liberal now. And Kellyanne and George said, I can't live with you. And they said, I can't live with you. And there it is. There were also stories about their kids that got out there that they said they wanted to remain private. Now, I'm just saying this, but whether this is fair or not, I don't know. But I think it got to a point where they wanted their privacy because the daughter had kind of become a wild child. And they saw some stuff going on. Well, the daughter now is old enough and out of the house, apparently, that she can be a Playboy model. I don't know that she's done nudes. I don't know that. The story I read said she's done all kinds of swimsuit modeling, provocative, salacious pictures and things like that. I don't know. But there apparently is some sort of service at Playboy.com that you pay for, like an OnlyFans page or something. And if you follow this person and pay a few bucks a month, Playboy splits it with the content creator. And that's how Playboy stays alive or survives today. And there's different levels. You can do swimsuit pictures, hot golfer pictures, or I guess you could do nudes. I don't know. I'm not there. I'm just telling you that that's what Kellyanne Conway's daughter is doing. And that is your final. And I hope you have a great holiday weekend coming up. We still got a couple more podcasts, Thursday and Friday. No podcast on Monday. We're going to take the holiday off here at KKHI. But always, you can catch up over the long weekend if you're traveling. Want to listen in the car, go back to some back episodes, feel free to play them. A lot of them still certainly relative. We appreciate that. Or if you're around a group of people this holiday weekend, let them know about the podcast. If you think they're like-minded and they may like the podcast, I'd really appreciate you telling them about it. And if you could somehow get them on their phone to hit that subscribe or follow button, it's absolutely free. That would make a big difference as well. We appreciate you supporting our sponsors. And thank you as always for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, presented by Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC. To get exclusive patrons-only podcasts, receive a weekly newsletter, and attend in-person patrons-only parties, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron today. This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.